Our study tonight is found out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. Among other verses, encouraging one another in a spiritually difficult era. When the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians as an encyclical, a letter meant to be sent both to the church at Ephesus and to the churches and towns around the central hub of Ephesus, he did so in a spiritually difficult era. So in closing this epistle at verses 21 to 24 of chapter 6, Paul wrote to encourage his readers, exampling how to encourage fellow believers in the spiritually difficult era we face. So we view this passage for our application. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ephesians 6, 21 to 24. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. Okay, in closing his circular letter to believers at Ephesus and its surrounding towns, Paul wrote that he was sending Tychicus, a beloved brother in Christ and a faithful servant of the Lord, to deliver the epistle and to convey to Paul's readers what he wrote were my affairs and how I do. So, to clarify, the Greek Testament renders this phrase literally as the things concerning me, what I am practicing or performing. The Greek word is praso. It's not the typical word that means achieving something. The focus is on what he's doing rather than what he's achieving. Now, such activities would normally seem trivial to Paul's readers. I mean, how many people, if I got up and preached a sermon on what I'm doing on a regular basis throughout my life or during the week, the things that I'm doing, the ordinary chores and things, that would be rather boring. People would say, wait a minute, we came here to get spiritual truth. So why is Paul writing about these ordinary affairs? Well, they're not really so ordinary. They were not normal to everybody involved. The last contact the recipients of this letter had had with their beloved apostle Paul, who had brought the gospel of Christ to many of them, was a very hurried meeting that he had called with just the elders of the church at Ephesus at the seaport town of Miletus as he was en route to Jerusalem. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 20 that deals with this, because the background to these verses is rich, and we really have to understand it. In Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 15, we read, and Luke is writing, he's traveling with Paul. We sailed from there and came next day over against Chios. The next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigillium. And the next day we came down to Miletus. This is going down the coast of what is now known as Western Turkey, coming down the Adriatic Sea along the coastline. They're on a ship. And Paul is headed to Jerusalem. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, not to stop there. By Ephesus, because he was not going to spend time in the province of Asia. Asia is the province of which Ephesus was a part. For he was in a hurry if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. So Paul was bypassing these people. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He couldn't get the whole church. Everybody was working, you know, they had their jobs and whatnot. But he got a hold of the elders. A lot of these men would have been like our retired men today. They had the time. And he called for the elders. And when they were come to them, he addressed them in verse 18. Now, in that meeting, Paul had explained to these leaders that the Holy Spirit had been testifying through early church prophets that bonds and afflictions awaited for him in Jerusalem. I skip down in his speech there in Acts 20 to verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me or await me. So Paul was heading towards difficulty, And Paul also said in verse 25 that they would see his face no more. And that's an implication that he was about to be martyred. He knew that he was going to be captured, and he himself is a prophet, and he indicated that they would not see him. Verse 25, "And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Now, that also meant that the people back at Ephesus, many of them Paul had led to Christ, were not going to see him anymore. They're going to miss him on this journey. So there's stress that's involved for the people. Also, this meeting with Paul proved to be so difficult for the elders at Ephesus that they embraced him and gave him the typical parting gesture of kissing on the neck while grieving over his words that they would not see his face anymore. I skip down to verse 36. "And when they had thus spoken, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down," this is on the beach right there at Miletus, "and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship." So they went into the ship with him, and then they parted and left. And that's the last they saw Paul in this life, because after that, indeed, he was martyred. Well, after that, Paul had gone to Jerusalem. And there he'd been arrested, and he had appealed to be tried by the Roman emperor. And while being taken under guard to Rome, he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. This is all occurs between Acts chapter 21, verse 1, and Acts chapter 28, verse 16. So Paul had faced a huge amount of trials in this situation. And he was shipwrecked on Malta. Finally, then, they reached Rome, and Paul was put under house arrest with a soldier guarding him until he came before Caesar, and Paul's accusers from Jerusalem were to show up and press charges against him. Just read that. I'm going back over to Acts chapter 28, verse 16. "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." See, what had happened, Paul had predicted to the Roman centurion that we're going to get shipwrecked if you keep sailing off of Crete. Because the Lord has shown me we're going to get shipwrecked. And sure enough, they got into the storm. But then Paul indicated that we're going to be shipwrecked, but he told the Roman centurion, everybody's going to be saved alive. Now, normally what the Roman soldiers would do is kill all the prisoners if they thought they're going to be shipwrecked, because if any prisoner escaped, it was the Roman soldier's life for the life of the prisoner. Okay, so they were going to kill him. Paul said, no, we're all going to be safe. You don't have to kill anybody. So they believed Paul, and sure enough, they made it safely to the shore. So Paul had developed quite a rapport with the centurion. So when they got there, the centurion said, let's not put this guy in the maritime prison, because the conditions there were pretty rough. If he wants to rent a house, he can stay in the house. We'll just keep a soldier with him. And I think the soldier might have been chained to Paul. I don't know. But anyway, Paul was limited to the house. He could stay in the house. And that was a fairly good condition. Now, in that situation, the believers at Ephesus, this imprisonment was likely the first of two Roman imprisonments for Paul. And it's the one that is described here in Acts 28. That's why I went to Acts chapter 28. Most scholars believe it's that one. Some scholars mix up and say that Paul had only one Roman imprisonment, the one in the maritime prison where he was about to be executed. But it seems very difficult to say that, because in Acts 28, he's going to call for all the Jewish elders of the city of Rome to come, and he's going to witness to them. And that doesn't sound like that's going to happen in the maritime prison, because you wouldn't have the elders, Jewish elders show up in a maritime prison like that, not that many. So I believe there were two imprisonments, and this is the first one, and Paul is staying in a house with rented quarters. So the believers at Ephesus and its surrounding districts would naturally be very concerned about Paul's daily activities, how he was functioning under house arrest in Rome following as many trials that had occurred after his brief meeting with the elders of the church of Ephesus at Miletus. They wanted to know, this man, he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been flogged, and a couple of things. How's he doing? Is he doing well? Is he healthy? Is he able to get up? Or is he bedridden? What's going on? So they needed to know what was going on. Well, Tychicus had comforting news to share about Paul with these believers, and that comforting news is given us in verses 17 through 31. Tychicus could report how Paul had given the gospel to the Jewish leaders of Rome on a given day, how they had come to his house, and how he had preached to them from morning until evening. Let me just read those verses 17 and following. Came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the elders together. And when they were come together, these are Jewish elders, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And they said to him, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brothers that came showed or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear of you what you think. For as concerning this sect," he's speaking of Jerusalem, of Christianity, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So Christianity had begun to make inroads, and it had stirred up the pot, so to speak, in amongst the Jewish people. In verse 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came unto him many to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Paul probably set a time, you know, they probably started 7 o'clock in the morning, and they went until what, 10 o'clock at night, the way Paul talked, all day long. And he witnessed to these people about Jesus Christ. Some believed, verse 24, the things that are spoken, some believed not. "And when they agreed among themselves, they departed." When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. "Well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go to this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Now, verse 29 does not appear in many of the important manuscripts, so I'm going to skip over it. Verse 30, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence," or the word boldness, "no man forbidding him." So Tychicus had a very positive report. Tychicus could report how Paul had given the gospel to the Jewish leaders in Rome on a given day, and he preached from morning to evening. He could also tell them of the mixed response to Paul's witness. Some of the Jewish leaders had believed, others had not. Paul's clarification that God was thus turning to reach the Gentiles now that the nation Israel and her leaders had not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Tychicus could also explain that while Paul was under house arrest, he was regularly receiving all who came to him and preaching the kingdom of God about the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him, even the Roman soldier who had been assigned to guard him. And I just picked up here that Paul talked about this chain. And he might have had a chain. He might have been chained. There was probably a chain around the waist, and that chain was hooked to the Roman soldier. It might have been hooked around his waist. We don't know. And there would be different soldiers that would come in. They would, you know, be on guard for 8 hours and switch around and so forth. So Paul was always constantly under guard. And these soldiers would keep him there under pain of death for themselves. A soldier, Roman soldier at this particular time, if he lost a prisoner, he'd be crucified. So literally. So that they were guarding him very closely. But even the Roman soldier, you know, Paul would preach. In fact, some believe that this is the same imprisonment as Philippians. And the whole Praetorian Guard had heard about the gospel because he's preaching to the guy that's chained to him here. And that guy goes home, he gives the gospel back to the guard. So the Praetorian Guard was the guard that was associated with Caesar. So a lot of the people in Caesar's house were getting the gospel by this guy who's, you know, under house arrest. It's just amazing. So following this delivery of Tychicus' heartwarming news about Paul's welfare and his regular activities while under house arrest, Paul added that Tychicus would comfort their hearts with this report. I guess so. He was well and healthy, and he was continuing to do his ministry. He was preaching all the time. People were coming to him, and he wasn't able to get out, but they were coming to him. and he was able to explain the word. So he was healthy, he was happy, and he was busy, and that would have comforted the people. So Paul closed the epistle, calling for peace to his readers, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that the grace of God might be with all those who truly love the Lord Jesus. So to encourage fellow believers in a spiritually difficult era, Paul sent trustworthy co-worker Tychicus to testify of the blessings of liberty in ministry God was still providing him, even though he was under house arrest. So in application, may we encourage each other in our difficult era by telling of God's working in, for, and through us. This is a time when Christians need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement, but especially believers. And we need to take the opportunity to share and testify what God is doing. And with that in mind, I'm going to share with you what God has been doing today. I was in the church. After having preached the morning sermon, I was at the back of the church over here by the parking lot, the large parking lot. And I saw a lady that I needed to speak with, and she was over speaking with another lady, but I couldn't go across the back of the church to see her because it was flooded with a lot of men that were talking, and I don't like to interrupt conversations. And often, as if I'm a pastor and I walk by someone, they'll stop talking and they'll talk to me, and I didn't want to do that. I love people to go ahead and fellowship. But I was thinking about crossing the pews, but you know, you can step over the barrier in the middle. The only problem was the way we've roped off the pews, every other pew is roped. So eventually I was going to have to climb over a rope, and I couldn't do that. So the only way to go see this lady was to go all the way down to the front, go across the front, and back up. So I started heading down that way. And I was going down the way. There were a group of three deacons there were talking about an important subject. They said, "Pastor, we want to talk to you. Are you headed somewhere?" I said, "Well, yeah, I am, but I can do that later." And I thought, well, I have to talk to this lady there. So there was some important business that the deacons wanted me to talk with him, so we talked over the important business and came to a decision in regards to that. Well, by the time I looked up, this lady she was over back where I had been. So now I was going to have to go, but she was busy talking to someone else. So I went over and I thought, well, I'll wait here. What happened? Suddenly the church emptied out, and this lady needed to do something. She's the lady who works the banners in the front of the church. So she had some banners she wanted to put up, some graduation banners. So she came up. So I was able to talk with her and got this situation, and she was grateful for the information I was able to share with her. But looking back over it, the group of men gathered at the back, the way the pews were roped off, it was all of the Lord so that I could get over, talk with the men. We could handle an important decision we had to make. And yet I was able to meet this other lady. And we're in an awkward situation. It's not like fellowship hall where everybody's kind of in a big room and you can kind of make your way around. It's awkward. It's a bit awkward. But even though it was a bit awkward, I could see the hand of the Lord. So God's busy in our midst. God's blessing us as well. The giving has never been this high. It's getting close to 38,000, I think, that what we have in the... it might even be higher. I haven't seen the latest report. I've never seen it that high as a pastor. I've never seen the checking account that high. And God's blessing it. And this is a pandemic where people have lost jobs. I don't think many of our people have. But, you know, God's busy. And so I'm just sharing this with you, hopefully, as good news and as news of encouragement, that God is busy in our midst. And we need to encourage one another in the Lord as well.